Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Everybody just move your body, 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 move
your body. Beyonce singing Move Your Body. That's the theme song for Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign, in case you didn't know, to fight childhood obesity. And joining me now is a member of the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition. She is none other than the tennis legend Billie Jean King, a lifelong advocate for women in sports, and a 2009 recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom for her work advocating for women's and gay rights. Billie Jean King, so nice to have you. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Geez, I get to talk to you. You're a star.
No, you're the star. What specifically is your role on the President's Council of Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition? Are you kind of an ambassador for exercise?
Yeah, we are. Our group, and we meet at least twice a year for 2 days each time on the Hill. Shelley Fall is our CEO, and I guess she's really our executive director. I look at her as the boss, though. And we had it like a play day at the White House last time with kids and parents, and you know, people like Grant Hill and Chris Paul, and we have doctors. We have it's amazing. They're going to add some more people, but yeah, our job is to get the word out. Anything we can do to get people to sign up for PALA, you know, to try to get an award. That means if you're a senior like I am, I like to say mature, not senior. It means 5 days a week, at least a half an hour of exercise. At a time. So, and then younger people should do an hour a day, at least 5 days a week. So,
is it an awareness campaign? I mean, the benefits of exercise and nutrition are not exactly controversial or unknown. Are people still unaware that taking a walk is healthier than watching television?
They know it, but how do we get them to do it? How can we encourage them? How can we inspire them? How can we get them off the sofa? How can we get them maybe not to spend 1 hour less behind the computer? You know, just obvious things that sometimes we just try to help. We try to work as a network as well to make sure we're all working together, or maybe I'll try to tell somebody to call Shelley that we should be talking to each other. For instance, I founded the Women's Sports Foundation. In 1974, we work with them. We've known about obesity since 1974. Nobody wanted to listen. Now at least people are starting to talk about it. And we know how important activity and sports are for our health. We know that it helps with helping to prevent, you know, like breast cancer, diabetes, heart disease. It goes on and on. I mean, it's really about mind, body, and soul. To try to get people to understand you've got to take good care of yourself so you can have a great life and a quality of life and do the things you like to do. You think better. You do better. Children do better in school on the test, in reading and math particularly. So, I mean, for instance, what they do with some students now, they've done some research, is that, you know, a half an hour before they're going to take their SATs, they make them exercise at least 20 minutes, and then they sit down immediately and take the test, and they do better. It's like getting oxygen to the brain, Brian. It helps.
Can you believe that there are some politicians out there who are actually saying they object to this Let's Move campaign, that it's not government's role to promote these behaviors and get off parents' backs?
Oh, boy, that's too bad. I think there just has to be a constant awareness campaign every day. And it's hard to change. It's very difficult to change. And life is difficult. There's no question. But if the parents are a certain way or cook certain foods, then the children, it's a legacy thing. It's part of our legacy with each of our parents. And I think it's very important to do that. I just love to move. My younger brother was a Major League Baseball player for over 10 years in the majors.
Who was that?
My parents always emphasized exercise, and they worried about our health, not if we're any good. And I think that's one of the reasons we argue, but we know how important it is, and it's very hard for me. I can be so lazy. I can go days without exercising. If I can read or do something else or go to a play, or whatever.
So if you can, then imagine everybody else.
Of course, exactly. So I know it is a struggle. Some of my friends will run and play tennis and doing all these things, and I'm going, good for you. But, you know, my knees started to go bad when I was 23. I was number one in the world. And
you had a double knee replacement last year, didn't you?
Yeah, February 10th last year.
How's it going?
It has changed my life, Brian. It's just absolutely changed it. I had this Verilast knee technology done, and it's been tested, you know, for 30-year wear performance, and that's more than twice as long as any other knee replacement. And I am so happy because I am 67, and these little suckers last at least 30 years. I am in great shape. It's
wow.
Going to outlive me probably. And, you know, I think with NPR, because most people that listen to NPR are very, very interested in society and people. I mean, people love NPR, I cannot tell you. Every place I go, because of the in-depth, the good homework everybody does, and, you know, they are knowledge seekers. They're the people who want to know things. And if they want to go to rediscoveryourgo.com, that'll get them started. But it's a commitment. I mean, it takes 6 months to a year to recover. But now I'm in no pain. I can get out of bed without tweaking a knee and having it blow up.
That's great. And that's a lot of hope for other people, too.
But I got to where I can only take a – I mean, I had to take a taxi 2 blocks to go to the gym. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? Mm. And I live in New York City. So people in New York that live in New York usually live 2.5 years longer than other places because we walk.
Billie Jean King, my guest on WNYC, advocating for Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. We didn't put her up to that stuff about NPR, by the way. While you're here, can I ask you about a couple of other things? You were awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2009 mm-hmm. by President Obama for your activism for the rights of women and the LGBT community. We're on the precipice, as you know, of same-sex marriage being legalized in New York. At the height of your tennis career, 1960s, 1970s, would coming out have meant the end of your career?
Well, I was outed in 81, and it meant the end of my financial career, that's for sure. Overnight, I lost everything in 24 hours.
What did you lose?
All my endorsements.
Endorsements.
And I was 37. I was about ready to retire. And I was outed. And within, you can't believe some of the letters I got from people who endorsed me. And
hate mail?
Oh, a lot of hate mail. Tons of hate mail. And then you start over.
You were also active in advocating for women in sports, including the movement to pass Title IX.
Yeah.
Now we have the number of women competing in college sports at 186,000, increasing from 30,000 once upon a time. Are you happy with where Title IX stands today?
No, I'm not happy because a lot of Brian, you have to understand my personality. I always want to make things better. You know, I am grateful for where we are, and I understand that it's wonderful. But on the other hand, what makes me go is it could be better. We still, a lot of schools are not in compliance. At the Women's Sports Foundation, we have Nancy Hogshead McCarr, who won gold medals in the Olympics. She's our Title IX lawyer. She's brilliant. So we're still probably the guardian of Title IX, at least to do with sports. A lot of people in sports think it was only about sports, but it's really about education. And Edith Green is one of my heroes, and Birch Bayh is one of my heroes for getting this to happen. It was her idea. A Democrat, I think, from Oregon in the Congress. She's the one that started thinking about it, started writing it. It went through all kinds of different layers of how it was going to look. It was Title 10. It was Title – I mean, they had all these – it finally came up to Title 9, and Senator Birch Bayh is probably the reason it passed because he was willing to compromise. But it got passed, and sports were actually an afterthought. I mean, up to the early 70s, women, there was a quota to become a doctor or lawyer. Like, if you wanted to go to Harvard as a doctor, you couldn't, you know, unless mm-hmm. you're in that 5%
right.
quota they had.
It's all about equality.
So,
do you think of some colleges classifying cheerleading as a competitive sport now in order not to field other kinds of women's teams?
Well, actually, girls who are cheerleaders, this is an ongoing discussion, but girls that are cheerleaders, most of them, 50% of them actually also play another sport usually. When they compete and do it, there's two different types, and I forget what they're called, but the one that competes and all that, I think they should be considered a sport. I think it's unbelievable. The stamina, they're very acrobatic, they're mm-hmm. like gymnasts, mm-hmm. they're in shape. I totally think they're athletes. I think anybody that breathes is an athlete, but I think cheerleaders are fantastic athletes.
All right.
So I'm all for it. If that makes them happy, there's a lot of teamwork involved.
We have a question on our website from a listener who wants to know, quote, why the USTA did not come to the aid of working and middle-class New York tennis enthusiasts and make a formal stand against Mayor Bloomberg's increase of public tennis court fees to $200 per season, doubling in 1 year, making tennis prohibitive to many middle-class New York families. Is this an issue you're aware of?
No, I was not. I'm very thankful that someone brought it to my attention. I think it's probably the cost of taking care of the maintenance, if I had to take an uneducated guess. But I think I'm going to go find out about that. I'm writing it down, actually.
I guess so.
But I know it costs a lot to maintain, because I go out and play at Central Park a lot, and I know that to maintain things and also to pay the wages for the park people and all that, I'm not sure. I'd have to ask.
Right.
Maybe. But I know people I can ask.
Well, we have at least one listener in Brooklyn who would like that.
Okay.
And this year is the 50th anniversary of your first Wimbledon championship, a women's doubles title, right?
Yes, I was 17. And Karen Hance, my partner, was 18, and we're still the youngest team ever to have won Wimbledon.
How did it feel at the time? Do you remember it?
It was fantastic. It's one of my greatest victories. I was so happy. Karen and I giggle a lot when we play anyway. We're very good friends even to this day. And we just giggled our way through Wimbledon, and we had the best time. And I was starting college in the fall. I was, like, so happy. And we still just laugh and giggle when we get together. It's really nice.
You're obviously a New Yorker, and obviously you've played tennis in front of crowds all over the world. Do you find the New York crowd to be different from any other crowd?
They're a little more rowdy, but it's very international city. And people come from all over the world, but it's much rowdier than Wimbledon, and I'm going to Wimbledon on Tuesday. And last year, after I had my knee replacement, I snuck out on court 16. I'm not supposed to go out there, and I snuck out there and hit my first ball, and it went over the net, and my knees were stable for the first time probably in 40 years. I was so happy. I cannot tell you. My whole life's changed. I can go to the gym. I can play tennis again. It's like liberation.
It is the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center, so if you can't sneak out onto court 16.
Well, that's not there. That's at Wimbledon I snuck out.
Oh, at Wimbledon.
Wimbledon I snuck out on court 16. Now, at the Open, I probably could go there with my name on.
Yes, yours is in New York. Billie Jean King representing the Let's Move campaign. So, such an honor to have you on the program. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brian, and I really appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.